Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
And to be surrendered enough to be controlled by the Spirit means that Jesus holds a place of absolute lordship in our life. Amen? That we are fully surrendered unto Him. We used to sing the song and get very sentimental. You can get emotional when you sing, He is Lord. He's risen from the dead and He's Lord. And then we would edit one of the verses to personalize it and say, He's my Lord. He's risen from the dead and He's my Lord. And we can mouth those words. We can sing those words. We can become emotionally moved by the fact that He deserves to be in that place of prominence and preeminence in our life. But only when we really surrender our wills to Him can He really be the Lord of our life. Can you say amen? He's a shepherd to His sheep, but He can't be my shepherd. Sounded like something blew up, didn't it? But it wasn't here, so we're okay. Amen. Hallelujah. We're all His sheep in terms of His ownership. He has a right to us. He's bought us with a price. But until you give yourself away, you can't enjoy all of the benefits of a shepherd that will lead you into those places of safety and satisfaction and fulfillment in your life. Amen? He will lead me beside still water. He can't lead you unless you follow Him exclusively. Amen? You can't enjoy that peace of God until you have that kind of peace with God and get rid of the tension that comes in, that we want to go our way and it's against His way. And so it's not just the world that creates pressure in the Christian life, and it's not just the devil that creates this pressure. Now, a lot of times there's tension between us and God. If you've got aught in your heart toward a family member that's wronged you and you haven't settled that issue, then there's tension between you and God. Sitting here tonight, there's tension inside of you. Amen. Why, Brother Bimble? Because you're out of His will. And it's not that He's mad at you. He just says, I can't flow through you and to you until that issue is settled tonight. If there's unforgiveness, it has to be settled. Forgiveness is such a liberating thing for anybody who obeys the Word of God and lets Jesus truly be the Lord of your life. You ever heard somebody say, I've forgiven, but I'll never forget? That's the flesh playing possum. That's not the way forgiveness works with God. Isn't it good that God doesn't operate that way? And then if He never forgot your sin, we'd be in a heap of trouble tonight. Hallelujah. There is no forgiveness if it isn't forgotten and put in the past. And we treat people as if it never happened. And we think of them without any ill will in our heart. It's a liberating thing. I don't think I could teach healing or deliverance to anyone without teaching forgiveness to them. Because if we don't forgive men their trespasses, the Father won't forgive us our trespasses. And we can't live without His forgiveness. Can you say amen? Amen. There's no one on this planet can live without His forgiveness. You say, well, I'm a Christian and I don't do this and I don't do that. Well, there are areas of your life that you will need to go before God if you're honest and say, Lord, forgive me for that attitude or that activity. You can't get it unless you're willing to give it. Amen. Mercy is something that it's got to flow out of you in order to flow to you from God. Flow out to others. If it flows out to others, it'll flow to you from the Lord. I love the story of David, and I'm just kind of talking, not waiting on the direction of the Holy Spirit. I've got two good outlines here. We could preach from those outlines, but I want to be obedient to God tonight as much as I know how to be. It's very difficult to get through to people that you can't just build your faith and get all the answers settled in your life. There seems to be a quick fix to all of our problems. It's either giving and sowing a seed, or it's just building our faith to believe for what we need in our life. And that's kind of a really an oversimplification. Not that it's so complicated, but there's more to your life and relationship with God than just believing Him, using faith as some kind of magic force to get what you want in your life. Amen? And so there'll become a realization in everyone's life that you don't just push buttons and have God respond. There are spiritual laws that govern our lives. And one of those laws that God has established is that we must forgive our debtors if we want our debts forgiven. We've got to forgive those that transgress against us if we're going to ask God to forgive our transgression. So without that mercy, blessed are the merciful, You know, here it comes again, the reciprocal law of God, the sowing and reaping thing. Blessed are the merciful that sow mercy unto others, for God will show them mercy. You ever wonder why God was so merciful to David when he was so absolutely disobedient and so deceptive and he did so many terrible? When I read about it in the Bible, I don't like David like I loved him before. He really did some terrible things that would make anyone angry at the way he acted. A good man that loved his God, loved his king, and loved his country, and loved his wife, and loved his comrades at arms. Amen. Hallelujah. He died because of David's sin. David trying to cover his sinfulness. Amen. And when David realized it, he went before God. And he asked God for mercy. And he didn't deserve it. Mercy isn't for people that deserve anything. It's for people that don't deserve it. Can you say amen? It wouldn't be mercy if you deserved it. It wouldn't be grace if you merited it. So grace and mercy are tied together. And God granted mercy to him. And it almost seemed like, man, you know. But he set things in motion in his life. If you read the rest of the story of David, you're going to find out that the old covenant couldn't take away what sin could get him right with God again, but it couldn't take away the ramifications of that sin. He had a terrible family pain and heartache. He had a son that raped his half-sister and another son that went after that son to kill that son. And he had a son that turned against him and he had to leave the city of God and go hide in the desert from his own son who wanted to take his life and take the kingdom. Not a Philistine giant, but his own son. Listen, an enemy, it's easy to deal with the hatred of an enemy. It's hard to deal with the hatred of a friend or a family member. Can you say, man, that's what gets in your heart. That's what breaks it into 1,000 pieces. So what David did set some things in motion. The wonderful thing about the story of David, when he died with a testimony that he had been completely restored. Amen. He had been punished in a sense of the things that happened in his life, not because God wanted to get him, but because he set things in motion. That's why I love to jump into the new covenant. Because when you jump into the new covenant, praise God, hallelujah, sin's consequences change because the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ sets you free from an ironclad law that the old covenant couldn't break. The law of sin and death is broken, amen, through the new covenant. Isn't that incredible? Amen. So the prostitute that's been out there on drugs, shooting up and living a life of terrible sin, cannot look forward to a lifetime of paying for that sin if she comes to Jesus. Can you say amen? She can look to a brand new life of righteousness and blessing. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? That's the glory of the new covenant. So we are going to move in this direction. That was kind of to set this in a little different perspective because it's something you've heard before. Turn with me to Revelation 12 and verse 11. And I want to talk to you about the application of the blood of Jesus in your life. It involves mercy because the blood is there to cleanse you and to provide forgiveness for you and to establish a grace standard for you before the Lord in a position before God that's awesome and mighty. We've heard this scripture before, and I want to just get into it a little bit because before this is over, I want to have a declaration of faith's confession concerning the blood of Jesus. Testimony here we're going to read about is not just our standard testimony service where we tell what God has done for us. It's a testimony that is in direct relation to what the blood of Jesus Christ has established for you and I. Amen. If you want all the benefits and blessings of the blood of Jesus, you've got to first get forgiveness from God. You've got to come to Him and repent of your sins, and the blood of Jesus assures that your sins are going to be forgiven. Amen. The Bible said there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared and revered. Not taken advantage of, amen, or disrespected, but feared and revered. God is a gracious God to do this for us, and it should melt our hearts, amen, that He would let His Son be punished for our sins and that Jesus would actually go to the cross and die the death He died for us. So I don't want the boldness that God wants to build into us to come without the balance of the humility. We should be melted, we should be broken before the cross, and we should want to be obedient to God. But I'm going to tell you something. That blood can only be applied to you to the degree that you apply forgiveness and mercy to others. Amen. If you don't forgive others, regardless of the blood that was shed for you, you can't obtain forgiveness from God. You can if you forgive others and then ask Him for forgiveness. You know what David did? David had Saul in a cave sleeping His bodyguards were at the mouth of the cave, and evidently David got in through a side entrance. I don't know how the scenario went down. I just know David was in a cave, probably hiding from Saul, and guess who he found when he walked down the corridor of the cave? He found Saul, the king that was trying to kill him, sleeping. And there was one of his captains was with him, and he said, God delivered him into your hands. Now's the time to slit his throat and take the kingdom. And David could have said, yeah, that's right, I can do this, but he didn't. Amen. He showed mercy to a man who didn't deserve it, a man who was under God's judgment, but he said he's God's servant. God is going to have to execute that judgment. It's not for me to do. But his pride got a little bit of the best of him. He said, but I want him to know that I could have got him. I could have nailed him. So he took a piece of his royal robe and he cut it off. He wanted him to wake up and find a piece of his garment cut off to know that David had been there. That an assassin was right there ready to kill him, but had walked away. And when he walked away with that piece of garment, kind of gloating over the fact that, boy, I could have nailed him. Wait till he wakes up and sees that God is with me. He looked at it and said, I'm wrong. No wonder he was a man with all of his hang-ups and problems after God's own heart. He said, I shouldn't have done that. This is a prideful act. Amen. Remember when David sinned, how he showed mercy? He knew how to operate in this thing. Praise God. He knew you can't get it from God without giving it to other people. And when he needed mercy, amen, he got mercy because he had showed mercy, and then all of those covenant blessings, amen, came into view in his life. If you go to Paul Yonggi Cho's church in Seoul, Korea, you're going to hear healing testimonies that's going to raise the hair on the back of your neck. You're going to hear people that came in there that didn't even believe there was a God and came to him after a service. A cancer surgeon in Seoul, Korea, one of the most prominent cancer surgeons in Seoul, Korea, came with his wife to one of Brother Cho's meeting, didn't pay any attention to any of the claims of Christ or any of the authority of Scripture. He came to Dr. Cho and said, how can you seem to be an intelligent man, how can you believe all of these things that you're teaching from an ancient book? You know, how can you believe these things? And that was fine for about 6 months. He didn't come back until he, the most prominent cancer surgeon in Seoul, Korea, contacted deadly, deadly cancer within his own body. And I forget the body part, but it was a terrible, terrifying cancer. And he came back. And he wanted to receive Christ as his Savior. And that's thunder. One of the things we're having is a rainstorm just close to us out there. And he came back. And, you know, the easiest thing to do when people come with needs in their life is just to go get the blood applied and lay hands on them to receive. But Paul Yonggi Cho discovered, he said, in the laying on of hands and praying for the sick and praying for deliverances, that there are principles that can hinder. Even with your faith build up, even with anointed ministers, there are things that can hinder. If the Bible says if you don't forgive others, God will not forgive you, then it's real vital that we do more than teach the strength of the anointing, that the anointing will break a yoke and that the blood has been shed to provide grace and mercy to help us in the time of need. Amen. This is not earning anything. It's just saying that there are things you can't withhold that from others that you are coming to receive from God. Freely you've received, freely give. Amen. The Bible said we're actually to operate toward others just like God operates toward us. That's why Peter said, if my brother sinned against me in this issue of forgiveness, how many times am I supposed to forgive him? When do I draw the line and say, that's it, no more forgiveness for you? That's it, I'm done with it. You've crossed the line. And he thought he would be big and very generous and say 7 times. And Jesus said, yes, yea, and 70 times 7. Now, someone out there is doing the math and say 490. You know, I've already got to 489. He's got one more chance to straighten out, or that's it. No, what he was saying was, what he was saying through that statement, just using that 70 times 7, 7 is God's perfect number. 70 times 7 means infinite in God's way of thinking. It's not 490. Amen? You don't do math with this. You understand that there's no limit. Everybody say there's no limit, to grace. Isn't it good that there isn't limits on grace? Amen. Grace is available. Grace isn't fair. Hallelujah. Grace is not fair. Thank God it isn't fair. Because we don't get justice from God. We get grace and mercy from God. Hallelujah. Amen. Through Jesus. That's what he offers us. But he says, once you get it from me, you can't withhold it from somebody else and continue to be blessed. So he teaches that when the man came to him, he didn't just lay hands on him or teach him to build his faith. He said, I want you to think back in your life of anyone that you're holding captive through unforgiveness, and I want you to set them free so you can go free. And people will come with all kinds of needs, and he said, have you forgiven everyone? And they'll say, of course, because we're very quick to say, I love everybody. You know, we got that old-time religion. Makes us what? Love everybody except that person who I have real justification in not caring about. Amen? Well, we have those exceptions. We make those exceptions. God says you've got to quit making those exceptions if you want the benefit and blessing of my mercy applied to your life. Amen. Saul was the arch enemy of David. Saul had a price on David's head. Saul hurled a javelin at him. Saul wanted him dead. But David said, it's not for me to take vengeance against Saul. And I'm sorry that I even dishonored him by taking a piece of his robe. But a time come when David needed mercy. Can you say, amen? A time come when if it wasn't for the mercy of God, God had enough on David to destroy him 10 times over. Can you say, amen? And you know what David got? He said, blessed is the man. And it doesn't mean any man, but a man who has practiced forgiveness and shown mercy. Can you say, amen? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall what from God? Obtain mercy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he said, blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven in Psalm 32, whose transgression is covered. Happy to be envied is that. He said, I'm that man. And a day came because of what he did that people hated him for it. And if you really read the story like I read it to you from Scripture, you'll see why that they had these intense angry feelings toward David. And one man said, I don't care if he is the king. He has done such dastardly things. He saw him and he began to hurl insults at him, and that wasn't enough. He picked up rocks and began to throw them at the king of Israel. Amen. Now, God had forgiven him, but this guy's throwing rocks at him. Amen. And one of David's men said, well, listen, don't let other people tell you, amen, what to do. You listen to what Jesus says in the Word of God if you want His blessing in your life. They're not the one that's going to stand there at the mercy seat and make a plea someday. You're the one that's going to stand there and make that plea. Amen? Because David's captain said, why don't you kill him? God delivered him into your hands. And he said, he's God's anointed. I'm going to let God take care of him. It's not for me to do that. Amen? Hallelujah. Didn't the Scripture say, vengeance is mine? God has an exclusive on that. I will repay, saith the Lord. When I warn people, it's not because I'm asking God to get someone. It's because God defends His Word. God defends His servants. God defends His people. Can you say, amen? Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. That's an important Scripture tonight. That doesn't mean that you never question spiritual leadership. It just means that you don't try to undermine. You don't try to tear down. You don't try to take into your hands what is exclusively God's. Judge not that you be not judged. Listen to this. Here's the law of reciprocals. Say the law of reciprocals. For the same judgment you meet without. Now, I don't know how hard you are on people when they wrong you or you see the wrong in them. But let me tell you something that you know, but I want to reiterate it tonight. You're setting up your own relationship with God. Amen. Because God said, I'm going to treat you just like you treat him when he's wrong, and just like you treat her when she wrongs you. That's how I'm going to treat you when you wrong me. If you're merciful, you'll get mercy. If you're harsh in judgment, the same judgment you give out, it'll be meted to you again. So the worst place we can be is in a self-righteous place where we feel justified in judging others so harshly. Hello? So we better watch it. Everybody, look at somebody and say, we better watch it. We better watch it. Now, the word is true or it isn't. This is one of those tis or taint things the old-timers used to say. Either tis or it ain't. God is either going to treat you like you treat others or He's not. But the Bible said that He is. So it makes me, yeah, that's right. We're suddenly becoming a lot more loving and kind to one another. Did you say amen? Terry may wrong me. I don't want God to get him, and I don't want to get him. I want to pray for him and pray compassionately that God will touch his heart. I don't want to just pick at him and try to magnify his wrong to make me feel better about myself. Can you say amen? Church of Jesus, we better quit picking at one another if we want that oil put on us and that grace to flow to us in the time of our need. Amen? So Paul Young and Cho will ask a question. I was at a pastor's conference. He said, a lady came to me. She was dying of some devastating disease. And he said, have you forgiven everyone? And she said, yes, I have. He said, listen, I want you to go all the way back All the way back. All the way back. Because there's so many things we've left undone in that area. But it's in the past, and we think it doesn't matter anymore. Most pastors that understand these principles will tell you, amen, what you need to do is sit down and begin to think. And if you can find something, put it down, make a list, take the list, go before God. If there's names on that list and incidents on that list, one by one, go before God and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I release this person today. And I release that person today. And I release this person today. And I will no more hold a grudge. And when someone asks me about what happened years ago, I'll say, that was in the past. That was then. This is now. Can you say amen? I want to live free, so I'm going to set them free. Hallelujah. Amen? The law of reciprocals is nothing. That's just another term for an ironclad spiritual law by which God deals with us, called the law of sowing and reaping. If you sow liberally, you reap liberally. Amen? God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That means our lives today are not the result of chance, happenstance if you're a Christian. They're not even the result of Satan's schemes and intentions. They're the result of sowing and reaping. If we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we reap life eternal. That's not just something future. It means something that is taking place within us, that new life begins to come forth in our life here and now. Amen? Expressing in resurrection power, expressing in satisfaction too. Don't just think this is a power trip. This is something that satisfies the inner regions of the soul. There are so many people that need to be free from grudges, attitudes toward one another that are not dealt with. And very few people, I'll be honest with you, in 30 years of pastor, very few people are earnest enough about receiving what they need from God or honest enough with themselves to deal with these issues. So I actually would be very surprised if everyone in this room did that, because most of the time people know it's the right thing and they know the Bible says it, but they think somehow I have justification to hold on to this, because Brother Bimbo, you don't know what they did to me. Well, I don't know what they did to you, but I know what they did to Jesus. And I'll guarantee you what they did to Jesus is worse than what anybody's ever done to you. Can you say, man, his visage was marred more than any man. And I know what Jesus did on the cross. I know what he prayed for those people that had did that to him. What did he pray? He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Can you say, man? And so he says, the scripture says, if God for Jesus' sake has forgiven us, we ought, everybody say, ought to. That's the shortened form of O2. I want you to understand this is an obligatory thing. We ought doesn't mean this is something you're supposed to do. It's something you owe to one another. Amen? We ought to forgive one another. If God for Jesus' sake forgives us, we ought to be very quick to forgive one another. Amen? Because without forgiveness, we can't even exist together. Because none of us are so holy, so righteous, so pure, so wonderful in character, that we can never hurt another person or let another person down or disappoint another person in this room. I mean, no, there's nobody like that. Amen. Amen. There's just nobody like that. I remember there was a movie years ago in the 60s, I think, or 70s called Love Story. And there was a phrase that came out of that, and it's really silly. It says, love is never having to say you're sorry. Honey, love is saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Amen? Amen? It's amazing what forgiveness does. It's amazing what asking for forgiveness does. But even if you're not asked, amen? Even if you're not asked, God says, just go ahead. Grant grace out here. Amen? Remember when a man owed a debt? And he went, it was a big debt, and he couldn't pay it, he's about to lose everything, and he went to the person that he owed and asked for mercy, and they wrote his debt off. Come on, brother. And then a man came to him later on and owed him a little bit, and he was closing in, and he refused to cancel the debt. Hello? He'd received this great grace, and yet he wouldn't grant grace to anyone else. The Bible said he was going to be turned over to the tormentors. something you can't play. If you're competing with anybody in here, please stop. That's a flesh work. Can you say amen? Amen. If you're judging anyone in here, please stop. You get in the witness stand. Let God sit in the judgment seat. Judge right from wrong and pray and intercede for people. But don't ever put yourself on a pedestal, because there is no pedestal for you or me. There's only one throne, and it's not for you and it's not for me. It's for Christ and Christ alone. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Believe me, the Holy Spirit will get me to preach on something that's wrong in somebody. I've seen too many people squirm on Sunday morning. Amen. Nobody's getting away with anything. God will drop it in my heart. Nobody has to tell me, praise God. God will just drop it in my heart. Hallelujah. Say, Brother Venable, you're reading my mail tonight. No, I'm not reading your mail. Amen. God is the one that reads all of our mail tonight. I want to get into mercy. I don't want to be someone that lets sin go or soft on sin. I just want to say tonight that I need mercy from God. And only God the Holy Spirit can change the human heart. And my criticism and my pointed finger is never going to straighten anybody out. But if I pray and I get Bobby right, hallelujah, and I live right before God, whether anybody else does or not, and I show mercy, hallelujah, He'll prepare me a table like He did for David in the presence of mine enemies, hallelujah. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're sitting at the Lord's table, it don't matter how many enemies you got. The joy of His presence will overcome everyone that said anything to hurt you or harm you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, there's people that don't like me, and there's people that don't like you, and there's people that didn't like Jesus, but God said, I got a table for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you'll be merciful, you'll get mercy. Well, we don't teach these things, and we think we get a highly anointed preacher. We can stand in line long enough and get that anointing to touch us and solve our problems without any inner work in our heart. And this is more than a faith issue, and this is more than the anointing breaks the yoke issue.
That's right.
This is a matter of, are we granting to others what we're asking God to grant to us? The Bible said that we should come boldly before the throne of the only way to come into God's presence is to recognize that the access to Him is based on His grace, not our merit. Or no one could approach Him. Amen? Hello? Boy, it's quiet tonight. I see people looking at the floor, and I wish you hadn't done that. Now I'm going to have to look away from you, because you'll think I'm looking at you for looking at the floor and picking you out. In fact, you're thinking already that I'm looking at you. Amen? You don't want to deal with this, do you? You don't want, see, if you don't ever get real with God, God can't ever get real with you. You're going to live the rest of your life complaining about other people being blessed, but somehow God is overlooking me. Darling, God is not overlooking you. God is no respecter of persons. Can you say that? I know you've been hurt. I've been hurt. I know about pain in the heart. I've had my heart broken. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. There is a balm, amen, for this wounded heart. There is a God who can put oil and wine in those wounds tonight. There's a God that can give you back your joy, but you're going to have to turn some people loose to get that joy back. But you turn them loose, and He'll prepare you a table. And it doesn't matter what they've done or what they're doing. Can you say amen? He'll prepare your table in the presence of your enemies. He will anoint you with oil, and your cup will run over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I've got scars from the past. Amen. But scars, amen, are something good. Because if you've had a surgery and it's healed, it's going to leave a scar. Scar tissue doesn't mean there's something wrong. Scar tissue means there's been a healing. You may have a scarred heart, but if it's scarred, it's healed. Hallelujah. And God has done a work in you. Praise God. Amen. And it proves that Jesus is Lord over all the pain in your life. That He can conquer all of these emotions that Satan wants to stimulate in us. Simply by reminding us that at the foot of the cross, we are the recipient of great grace and great love and great mercy. And we should give it to other people. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to see people set free. I want to see when we pray, things happen. I want to see, amen, God's people begin to feast on God's best that He sets on His table for His people. Can you say amen? I don't want to see anything keep you or keep me from that presence and that place in God, hallelujah, where our cup run over. I don't want to see the grieving heart and the brokenhearted stay that way. Weeping may last for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So Peter says, how many times do I have to do this? Seven? He said, yeah, and 70 times seven. And Peter was so glad for that kind of God when he swore with an oath and said, I never knew him. Amen. And denied him publicly. Amen. And then he found grace and mercy. What did Jesus do in his first encounter after the resurrection? I know he appeared in the upper room, but then he left very quickly. But when he calls Peter back into the ministry, that Peter, through a broken heart, through his own self-loathing, disqualified himself from, how could God ever use me or think of using me? How could he trust me again after the failure that I was? How I denied him more vocally. All of them, in a sense, did. Amen. No one was standing with him but the two Marys. Amen. The mother and the person that he had delivered. Can you say amen? Out of gratitude. Everyone else out of fear had hid themselves. Amen. But Peter was public in his denial of him. And Peter was broken on the inside. And you know what he got from Jesus? He got a fish fry. Hungry, dejected man. Amen. And Jesus is up there doing something so practical to express love. He's wore out. He's tired. And I'm going to cook fish for those boys. After the resurrection. Listen, if you think Jesus is in a mystical body where none of the practical stuff is going to work anymore, amen, that now he's transcended into some spiritual being that's only involved in the spirit realm, you're very wrong because, amen, listen, Jesus, after the resurrection, in his glorified body, with the scars on that body, cooked fish for Simon Peter. And while giving him an act of grace that was totally undeserved, captured and captivated his heart. Can you say amen? God don't want your quick agreement to just serve him with everything. He wants to actually captivate you and capture your heart. Amen? He wants to soften it like he softened it. It broke Peter's heart. It broke him down. He knew what he's doing for me. I do not deserve this from God. Amen? And then, when he knew he had his heart, he began to call him back into ministry. And he said, Peter, do you love me more than anyone else than these? He said, yes, Lord. He said, feed my sheep for me. I want you to serve me in that capacity. If you love me, this is what I want you to do for me. If you really love me. And for Peter's sake, because he saw his heart already. Jesus wanted Peter to see his own heart this time. But Peter didn't trust himself anymore. He wanted Peter to begin to trust his own heart condition before God. Because if you're here with any distrust about yourself, amen, then Satan is going to really have leverage in your life. God's not asking you to be perfect. He's asking you to be sincere, to be honest, and to be open tonight. Amen? The Bible said if you have envy or jealousy or strife or division, he said, don't lie against the truth. If that exists, it exists. If it's not there, it's not there, and it's not an issue. But if it's there, it's there. Amen. So what he's saying, if it's there, let's face it. Amen. Don't run from it. Don't hide it. Don't conceal it. Don't cover it up. Face it. I'll face it with you, and I'll help you with it. Can you say amen? But he can't help anyone that isn't honest.
Amen.
If there's one place that the masks need to really come off, it's not just in the political arena where we see what the politicians are portraying or in the movie industry where you don't really see that person. You see the role they're playing, the character they're playing. You don't know who they really are. Amen. People get married and think they're marrying that person they saw on the screen. Amen. And find out they're marrying somebody that's entirely different because they're playing something on the screen. Amen. You think movie stars' feet don't stink after 12 hours in tennis shoes. You're very wrong about that. They do, like everybody else's. I could go to other things, but we just won't even go there. Use your imagination. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. In church, it's where we have the pat answers for everything. You can be going through the deepest valley of your life and feel like you're in the worst desert you've ever been in, and someone will ask you on Sunday morning, how are you? And guess how you are every Sunday, 24/7, 365 days a year. I'm fine. You know why you're fine? Because if you're not fine, somebody's going to wonder what's wrong with you. Can you say amen? And they're going to try to fix you. Can you say that? I'm going to fix you if you're not fine. Hallelujah. Where's your sin anyway? Job wasn't fine. Amen. And he was grumbling and complaining. They said, well, where's your sin, man? There must be a sin involved here. Well, they were very wrong about that. Amen. It wasn't his sin that got him in trouble. It was he was so good. Can you say, man? He was a perfect man in God's sight, not in terms of sinless perfection, but in the fact that God said, as far as a man can go in righteousness, that man is gone. There's nobody on the planet that's went as far as he's went, praise God. So he's head and shoulders over everybody else, and they want to pick at him. Hello? The best counselors, the best ministers, the best people to help a brother and sister that's in error are people that see clearly their own weaknesses so that they have merciful hearts in dealing with other people. The Bible said the first qualification for me to begin to try to help anybody else in here with those areas of weakness and failure is to cast something out of my own eye called the beam. Amen. Because if I'm always looking at your problems, I'm going to be blind to my own. So I have to start with me before approaching you. And if I really, honestly start with me, I'm going to approach you differently than I would if I don't deal with me. Because if I approach you from a standpoint of I've got it all together and you're the poor person in need and I'm going to come straighten you out so you can be like me, amen, then there's going to be a real problem. Number one, you don't want me coming, pointing a finger at you without compassion and love. Amen. I'm not going to see clearly what the real need is in your life. I'm just going to see something you did that I know was wrong, and I'm going to be jumping your case over that. Amen. The Bible said before you mess with anybody else, get the beam out of your eye. Then you can see more clearly how to cast the mote out of your brother's eye. Amen. So the Lord wants us to be gentle to one another. He wants us to be kind-hearted to one another. He wants us to be forgiving. A lot of people leave churches because of unforgiveness. Amen. Somebody wronged them. What's your solution? Well, you absolutely do not forgive them. That wouldn't be the answer. The answer is you cut and run. And the thing is, Satan is going to chase people all over the city of Tampa. Because there's no church in this city where everyone is perfect. Somebody's going to let you down. Somebody's going to rub you wrong. Amen. So we got to find out where God wants us and stand where God wants us. And if there's some people that are abrasive around us, we need to learn to forgive them. Be ye kindly hearted to one another, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. Can you say amen? That's treating each other like God treats us. So that creates a real problem for most Christians because we don't want to get that open and honest before God. We want an evangelist with a great anointing to lay hands on us because of the anointing. Nothing else on my part. No soul searching, no cleansing, no junk out. Just the anointing. It's going to break the yoke. Everyone is not healed, no matter how anointed anyone is, anywhere on planet Earth, including Jesus. The Father didn't tell him to heal everybody at the Pool of Bethesda. There was a man there that he was able to minister that healing to. Can you say amen? Amen. How we treat one another is going to govern how God's going to treat us. So you got to get rid of all your self-righteousness or you'll end up thinking, well, I don't need this kind of mercy. I don't need this kind of grace. And that's a dangerous place to stand. In fact, through that statement, what we're saying is, behold, look, I'm there. I've arrived. I stand. I stand pure, holy, complete. I need nothing. Therefore, I can be very harsh in my judgments of others because I'm not going to need mercy from God because I'm not going to make any mistakes. That's like being on a tightrope, standing in the between two great precipices on a tightrope. Amen? Boy, I don't want a tightrope experience with God. You know, I want to be able to be comfortable in the Lord, to walk with Him in sincerity and truth, not to cover up any sin or anything inside me. That's why I want the Lord, amen, to just clean me up, cleanse me from every egotistical, prideful attitude, amen, that would hinder the Spirit of God from flowing to me and through me in my life. When I have needs, I can't fool around with it. I don't know about you, but my enemy, is set for my destruction. He don't fool with. He don't come to harangue me, harass me. He comes to do what he wants to do to Peter. He comes to sift me as the wheat if he could possibly do it. You know why? Because I'm standing all these years up for what is true in the Word of God. And he wants me bad, but he can't have me because I belong to God. But I can't have anything in the way of God's deliverances. Amen. I need God to come through for me. I would have lost my mind. My body would have broke down under the stress. Amen. If I'd held on to some grudges or unforgiveness or justified or walked in pride or arrogance. Amen. I melted before God. And one of the things that happens that the devil don't count on, if he pushes you down so hard that you come before God melted in his presence and say, I hold nothing against anybody on this planet. Lord, I'm desperate for you. I've got to have your mercy and grace to sustain me. God will prepare you a table in the presence of your enemies. And let me tell you something. Your enemies will not be able to stimulate that anger in you while you're seated at God's table eating the good things of God in spite of all that you are saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord will offset what anybody could ever... Well, listen, what He wants to do and will do for you will be so above what anybody has ever done to you that you will not look back. You'll forget the things that are behind and reach forth to the things that are before. Hallelujah! Amen! Glory to God. That's forgiveness. That's mercy. It's reciprocal. The same way I judge is the same way I will be judged. So David set up his own mercy seat, his own mercy place, his own grace place. Amen?
Yeah.
You ever played Monopoly? There's a little card that you hold on to it in case you land in jail. What's it called? Yeah. It's a grace card, isn't it?
Yeah.
Get out of jail free. Hallelujah. It's a good card to have in Monopoly. Because now if you get in, you just flip that card over and you walk right back out. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. When I show mercy, I've got that card. When I forgive, I've got it. Hallelujah. Praise God. If I get in a pickle and I've got to have grace from God, I've got the assurance that that grace is going to come. Amen. We don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was himself tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain grace and mercy. Married together, grace and mercy is. Hallelujah. Amen. That's not what Yoda said. Now, don't that just sounded that way. Can you say, man, married together, grace and mercy is. Can you say, man, hallelujah, Yoda's just a little yoga, so don't even listen to him or look at it. Hallelujah. It's Eastern religion. That's all that is. Not even sci-fi anymore. They're just trying to sell us on humanism. Anyway, moving right along. We'll go to that some other time. Praise God. Amen. But I want you to know that grace and mercy are married together. We come before a throne to obtain what? The throne of grace, to obtain grace and mercy to help us in the time of any need. So it doesn't matter if it's physical, financial, spiritual, emotional, whatever the need is. The first thing you get is not the need. The first thing you've got to qualify for and receive from God that opens the door for everything else, can you say, man, is grace and mercy. And how do you get mercy? You get mercy by giving mercy. Can you say, man, hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. I'm glad we're figuring this thing out because Satan has been using these tools to keep us in a prison that Jesus died to set us free from. But I'm telling you something. We are not ignorant of his devices anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know something? We're going to see some people set free from things that they prayed all their life for and ended up back in that prison house. But it's going to radically, dramatically change. Hallelujah. Amen. It's going to change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, Paul said, if you've forgiven anyone, we're coming to you. We understand there's been problems, but if you've forgiven, we're going to go ahead and forgive before we even get there. Hallelujah. Amen. Before we even get there, we're going to operate in forgiveness. Amen. Lest Satan should gain something he don't have the right unless we give it to him, an advantage over us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. That means if he can get us into unforgiveness, he can hold us prisoner. But if we forgive, amen, he can't hold us prisoner. Because if we forgive, God's going to forgive us. The throne of grace is going going to welcome us and to obtain grace and what? Mercy. Hallelujah. To help us in the time of need. Anybody teaching financial blessings, they better teach on more than giving money. They better teach on giving grace and giving mercy. Anybody teaching on faith, they better teach on more than developing, amen, a believing heart. We've got to teach on getting our hearts clean. David said, Lord, I need forgiveness, so let's begin with my heart. I need the application of the blood. Wash me with hyssop. Hyssop was used to put the blood on the doorpost. It was used to sprinkle sacrifices. Amen. But listen, the blood of the sacrifice. Hallelujah. But he said, Lord, wash me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Amen. And create a clean heart in me and renew a right spirit in me. So this guy comes out and he's throwing rocks at David. And they're getting close, and David's dodging rocks, and this is the king of Israel. And the king is not like a president. Can you say, man? The king is a ruling monarch. There's no one higher. He answers to no one. He is the absolute authority. Amen. And so his captains, they're nudging him again and saying, hey, man, just give me the word. Give me the word and I'll shut his mouth. He was cursing and he was throwing rocks at the king. And amen. And David said, let him alone. He said, it may be that the Lord bid him, that God is permitting this. I sowed a lot of wrong. I don't expect not to have any problems as a result of all I did. Amen? I know why he's throwing the rocks. I know I deserve it. Can you say, man? Oh, he kept his humility, didn't he? Even though he'd been forgiven, he didn't forget that mercy. Amen? He said, and let me tell you something else. If I pass this test today, amen, and I don't retaliate against that guy, it may be that the Lord, everybody say a table in the presence of my enemies. He said it may be that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing. The more he curses me, the more God's going to bless me if I don't turn and take vengeance into my hands. Can you say amen? Isn't it good to know, hallelujah, that you do not have to defend yourself once you obtain forgiveness from the Lord and forgive other people? You don't have to defend your name. You don't have to defend your actions. You don't have to get people to forgive you. You've got God to forgive you. Amen. And the more they curse you, the more He's going to bless you. Hallelujah. Quit getting angry. Quit getting upset. Start looking for the table. Start looking for the Lord's table. Hallelujah. A table is not just a picnic table to the shepherd. It was a plateau that he had already explored and made sure there's no lions, there's no wolves, there's no bears. There's nothing to hurt the sheep here. I can bring them into this place in complete safety and they can lay down in green pasture. They don't have to watch their back anymore because God's got their back. Hallelujah. Amen? Wow. So if we don't teach these things, we are doing a disservice to God's people because we're implying without a heart that is cleansed from these things that we can bypass those principles that God said is ironclad. What is the Lord's pattern prayer? Father, forgive us our transgressions as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father, this is for the Christian community, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you. So you can't get grace and mercy unless you forgive others and show that grace and mercy and express it in forgiveness to other people. There's a man who had done me terrible wrong years ago, and I went into a situation where he and I were together for about 2.5 hours. And I had forgiven him. So when we got together, there was nothing there. I mean, there's a memory of the wrong. I'm not saying that I have a complete trust because I don't trust me. Why should I trust him? Anyway, I don't trust the flesh. Can you say, man? I trust the Lord to help me overcome that. But I'm saying there's no angst. There's no anger. There's no vengeful feeling. I was completely comfortable because I had got past that. I mean, it was like it was in a dim mist of my past. And I would have had to drag it out of that mist and put a spotlight on it for it to cause me a problem. And I don't want any of that junk that would hold me back and keep me from that table and that joy and that peace in my life. So anyway, after this 2.5 hours, someone who knew of the problem thought that, boy, there'd be sparks when the two of us were placed together somehow. And I didn't even think of it. I didn't give it a second thought, but they were dwelling on it. And they said, well, how'd you do with so-and-so? I said, fine. It's great. It's okay. And it took them back that it could be okay. I'm telling you something. Boy, if you I can't do it in myself. Amen. This is one of those, I need the Holy Spirit to help me do this. Yes. But he is called alongside. Amen. To help. Yes. Somebody said, I can't help it. That's fine. But he can help you help it. And if you yield to Jesus and say, I want to obey, yes, without the feeling, but just saying, I want to show God that I mean business in this area of obedience in my life, Holy Spirit is going to come to help you do it. It may not be immediate. It may be a process. It may come over time. Amen. But as long as you're on that road and you've set yourself to walk that out in your life, you're going to have all of heaven's resources behind you. And believe me, heaven's resources are mightier than any of the enemies that you have to face. Amen. That's right. Even in your own flesh and your own life. So, I've seen a lot of hit and miss things. And over 30 years of pastoring, I've seen shipwrecked souls. I've seen prideful hearts that wouldn't forgive and wouldn't turn loose of grudges. And the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's what we say in our private times about people. It's the things that we talk about. Amen. If it's in the heart, it will surface sooner or later. Amen. You'll have a confidant and you'll pour that out to your confidant. And your confidant will get a glimpse of your heart and its true condition. Because the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if it's been dealt with, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Amen. Don't let 12, not 24. Sun don't stay up there 24. It only stays up 12. Can you say amen? He says, don't let this thing. The Bible spoke of a root of bitterness that can get inside you. And if it gets inside you and it's undealt with, it'll grow. And when it grows, it's very difficult to deal with. Can you say amen? So the Bible said, lest there be any root of bitterness in you that might grow up and trouble you, be quick to forgive and forget and go on. There are people that, I'll just use the issue of divorce, that someone left him for someone else, and that's the most heartbreaking thing. There's anger. There's a sense of betrayal. The stress level. It's easier to get over a death than it is a divorce, psychologically, because of death. You couldn't help it. You were not rejected in that death. Many times loved right up to the end. You knew you were loved. But a divorce says, I don't want you anymore. I want someone else, and I don't want you. And a lot of times there's find out that something's been going on for a year or 2 years, and it comes to the surface, and it breaks your heart into 1,000 pieces. And then it makes you angry because you're in such pain. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. And there are people that have been divorced 20 years ago, and right tonight are just as angry as they were the week after it happened. And that anger is seething on the inside. And they go to church if they go to church. And they're holding that. And if you strike a conversation, that's going to come pouring out. Something 20 years old is going to come out as fresh as if it happened last week. Because in their life, their mind, it's that fresh. It's that current. And you can't go on until those things are resolved. That's why if you went to Paul Young DeCho's church, he would not just lay hands on you, talk about the yoke-breaking anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. He would talk about the human heart and its condition before God and say, let's get the heart cleansed. And then let's do business with God. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Is that all right with you? Amen. You want to hear this? Yes. Or you want to just go on and be ignorant of Satan's devices? Amen. Satan wants to use people to stimulate anger and unforgiveness in you and me. Because when he achieves that and we don't deal with it, you can't help that it's going to happen. But when it happens, we need to be able to deal with it biblically. And we need to come out of the prison. We need to do it by letting other people, setting other people free. Our freedom is based on that. There are people that God can't move for, and he loves them and he wants to move for them. Can you say amen? How many people here are saved because of God's grace and mercy, Christ's blood on the cross? That's what Revelation 12:11 is about. We overcome through the blood of the Lamb. How many know that blood has to be applied to your life? Amen? It has to be applied. It has to be appropriated. Just because Jesus died on the cross doesn't mean everyone's saved. People have to come to Him. They have to repent of their sins and be forgiven to get forgiven. Amen? And once you are forgiven, God says, you've got a debt to others now. Debt to me and a debt to others. You owe a debt. You receive something free. You can't hold back what you freely got from me, from other people. The day you start doing that, He said, I can't forgive you. The blood is not affecting you like it could and should. Amen? It's quiet in here. I'm glad. There needs to be an introspect. We need to deal with these. These are not... There's a lady came for prayer. I forget whose meeting it was, but she had crippling. And it's not that everybody has a crippling arthritic condition. There's aging things. There's all kind of things. But she'd been praying for deliverance from a crippling arthritic condition where the joints swell in her hands. And her hands had become more like claws than hands. They wouldn't bend. She couldn't function. She couldn't do the things that we all take for granted because of a arthritic condition. The swelling and inflammation of the joints on heavy pain medication. And the minister telling the story said her hands looked like claws that couldn't be moved rather than hands. And she came down for prayer. And he went to pray for her, and the Lord checked him. See, most of us that don't really read the Bible very much and just trust in the anointing itself and that with any of the spiritual laws in the Bible, we just go ahead and jump on people and say, I'm going to get you set free. Just believe, just believe, just believe, just believe. Don't have to forgive. Don't have to get your attitudes right. Just believe. Can you say amen? In order to get Satan off of you, you need more than the authority of Jesus. You need to be submitted to His lordship.
Amen.
Submit yourself unto God. Amen. Then, through the name of Jesus and the mighty armor of God, resist the devil. And then what happens? The tables turn. Everything changes. Hallelujah. He flees from you. Can you say amen? He flees from you. You didn't hear me tonight. I said He runs from you. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? All of this stuff kicks in. It works. It's mighty and it's working. Satan has no defense against it. He says, I can't stand up against them when God is standing for them. I've got to somehow trick them, to defraud them out of the victory that is theirs through the blood of Christ. I've got to get them to break His laws to the degree that He can't legitimately move in their behalf. Then I can close in and cause all the problems in their life. But if we get that area cleaned up, hallelujah, amen, there's not going to be anything to keep you or me from the victory that He purchased for us on the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. So she came for prayer. And he was checked. And he stopped and said, have you forgiven everyone? And she said, yes, I have. I've been a Christian for so many years. He said, ma'am, I've got to ask you again. Have you forgiven everyone? And she went back 2 decades because she felt like, I'm under God's spotlight here. I can't just treat this lightly anymore. I can't just go down and let the anointing take care of every need of my life without dealing with my heart before God. That's the misconception about the anointing and the blood of Jesus. So she said, I'll use 20. There was a number, and it was a long time ago. My husband had an affair for a year, lied, cheated, and when it was exposed, left me for someone else and left me in such a terrible circumstance. And he says, ma'am, I want you to release him tonight. You don't hear a lot of teaching like that. Most evangelists with a gift think, I got the gift. I don't need to deal with the hearts. Let the pastor do that. My gift is going to solve everybody's problem. A gift is never going to solve every problem. Can you say amen? That's why we have the Word. Satan loves it when people take for granted that with any kind of old heart, amen, we qualify. I'm not talking about meriting this. I'm talking about, amen, giving that we receive. So she prayed. And when you pray to forgive, when you're so hurt and so angry, you don't feel initially. You show God your intention by asking Him to help you do what you can never do in yourself. How many know God knows there's a lot of things that He's told you to do that you can't pull off in yourself? But there's nothing that He's willed for you to do that He can't do within you and through you by the power of His Spirit. Can you say amen? You know what kind of love God offers you through the Holy Ghost? The love of God. The kind of love that was in Jesus on the cross. While everybody, His closest friends had denied Him publicly and distanced themselves from Him. Amen. Nobody that was healed or delivered stood there and spoke up in His behalf in Pilate's hall. For fear of their own skin, they pulled back from Him. Amen. And then His enemies scoffed at Him. Bible said they sit down with a gleeful attitude to watch His suffering as He suffered on that cross. They sat down and watched Him there. Literally, they got a sick pleasure out of watching Him slowly, agonizingly die. And He's hanging on that cross, and there's something in His heart that is crying out to the Father in their behalf. Can you say amen? Amen. And that's something that is called not the love of the preacher or the love of the deacon or the love of the Sunday school teacher or the love of the evangelist or the love of the daddy or the love of the mother. Can you say amen? That's something called the love of God. That's something that transcends man's ability to love. That's something that comes by, that is divine in its origin, divine in its nature. Well, let me tell you something about the supernatural that Pentecostals are supposed to be so into. Amen. The Holy Spirit has been given not just to give you a liver shiver or cause you to speak in other tongues or operate in a spiritual gift. The very love that was in the heart of Christ on that cross. Hallelujah. He's come to shed that love abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That love can forgive any wrong. That love can forgive any enemy. That love can put it behind you. That love can set them free and set you free tonight. And it's offered by the Holy Spirit, but it's got to be asked for and received by us. I told you the story of Corrie Ten Boom. You don't go through Robbins Brook and watch your sister die at the hands of the Nazis. And she grabs hold because she knows Satan can use this to hurt my dear sister spiritually. And what hung in the balances was a lifetime of ministry and influence for Christ in Corrie's life when her sister was dying in Robbins Brook. She took her by the wrist, pulled her down, and said in her ear her last words to her sister this side of eternity, and said, "Corrie, don't hate, lest there be in any of you a root of bitterness springing up and troubling you." And so she went through the process, sometimes the painful process of forgiveness. But she went through it in obedience to God. Thought it was a settled issue. Thought it was done. While speaking about her life's testimony, people began to come to shake her hands and have her sign a book about her life. She talked about mercy and grace and love and forgiveness. And she saw a man that she immediately recognized from her past. And sometimes something will stimulate some event in your life. Satan's wanting to pull you back into it. She saw one of the guards that had so mistreated her and her sister in that. And he was coming in that line, inching forward. And when she saw him, she had a natural, normal, fleshly reaction. She abhorred him. All of the pain rushed back in. All of the memories rushed back. Amen. It's so easy to stand without having to face these things or be stimulated by them and say it's a done deal. But as he inched closer, she said, "I had to pray." I love her broken English, her Holland background. She said, "I had to pray." And I said, "God," and I had to be honest. She said, "I said, God, I don't love this man. God, I don't feel forgiveness toward this man. But Lord Jesus, you told me I must forgive this man. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you to help me forgive this man." And she said she felt nothing. Amen. But as he inched closer, by the time he got there, because of her commitment to obey God instead of her own emotions and her own feelings, by the time he walked in front of her, she said, "I felt something from God, something that did not come from me but from God within me." She said, "The love of God was in me for that man." And she said, "I took him by the hand, and before I could say anything, he said, 'Sister, will you forgive me? I have become a Christian, and I am so sorry for the things that I have done, and I've come tonight. I've asked God to forgive me. I've come to ask you to forgive me.'" And she said, "Brother, I forgive you." And they embraced. A guard in a concentration camp and a woman who had been so abused stood there at the foot of Calvary, broken, hallelujah, in the presence of Jesus. That's what this mighty Holy Spirit Spirit is able to achieve in your heart and mind. Can you say amen? And she lived a life of ministry to others. Amen. Teaching others not to hate and to forgive and to live in the presence and power and joy and beauty of Jesus. Hallelujah. Not psychologically marred, not physically marred, not spiritually hurt by that experience. But God proved there is a love. There is a love. There is a love, hallelujah, that covers a multitude of sins. But it's not yours and it's not mine. It's His by the Holy Spirit. But there is a love, Peter said. There is a love. Thank God there's a love tonight. Hallelujah, there's a love like that. It's the kind of love that held Jesus to the cross. So overcoming by the blood of the Lamb doesn't mean just that we have been blood-washed Christians. It means that we are living in a condition where the merits and benefits of that blood can be applied to our life. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, then the blood of Jesus is applied. The blood of Jesus will cleanse us. It's a continual, constant action from all unrighteousness. Can you say, man, if we walk in that truth, that revealed truth that He came to bring us. So the lady is here in closing tonight, and she's praying. For the first time in her life, someone has done more than just lay hands on her, anoint her with oil, and talk about the yoke-breaking anointing and the authority of the name of Jesus. They're talking to her about something that needs to be resolved in her own heart, an inner healing that's got to take place before the body can be affected. And she said she prayed similar to Corrie Ten Boom. Lord, I can't do this in myself, but I want to be obedient to You. And I don't want to withhold from others what You've so graciously given me. So Lord, I forgive my ex-husband. I forgive the heartache, the pain, and all the trouble it caused me. And said suddenly she wanted to worship. She wanted to worship. She wanted to worship. So she took those two claws, those two hands that the evangelist said couldn't. And thank God for evangelists that didn't just talk about His anointing. He talked about a God that wants to really help His people and set them free. Said she began to lift those two claw-like hands. And He said, you could hear, because it got quiet in that building. This was a sobering moment. She lifted those two claw-like hands before the Lord to praise Him. He said there came something that sounded like Jiffy Pop popcorn. You know Jiffy Pop? The one that's got the bag in it. And it's really loud. It started pop, 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 crack, pop, pop, crack, crack, pop, 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 crack. And those claws limbered up, loosened up. And she began to praise God with hands that could move. Swelling and inflammation gone. The healing could now flow out to her. Why? Because she could now come to the throne of grace to obtain grace and mercy to help her in the time of her need. And that opened the door for the healing that she needed. Because no one deserves salvation. It's by grace you are saved. No one deserves healing. You've got to get grace and mercy to flow out to you before God can heal you. Amen. But my sins have been forgiven. Now I'm walking the chalk. No, you're not. Amen. If you could walk the chalk, Jesus didn't need to go to the cross. He went to the cross because you can't walk the chalk. There's times you're going to need forgiveness. Hallelujah. And you've got to give it to get it. Amen. God can set you free. And God can position you and posture you and me for the greatest breakthroughs in prayer and the greatest breakthroughs in deliverance that we have ever seen and experienced, simply because we are not ignorant of Satan's devices and we're becoming honest and clean and clear before the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, without opening the Bible tonight, we've done some teaching. And we can give you the biblical references if you would like them, if you need them. Most of this you know. Most of this you know. But I don't think you know it or have known it like you know it tonight. Because the Holy Spirit took us here. Aren't you glad He takes us places that we wouldn't normally choose to go? If I announced this morning tonight we're going to have a come clean service where God's going to put His finger on all of us and talk to us about our hearts and our needs and getting really right with Him. But I did not pre-announce that because I didn't know it was going to happen. In fact, that's my scripture right there. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. How many's ever heard that many times and you have been washed in that blood?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The grace and mercy that blood has provided is received. Not just when you receive Jesus, but when you obey Him. Particularly in the area of our personal relationships. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. That's in the area of the way we treat one another. It's not in the area of any other place. It's in the context of how we treat one another. He says, how you treat one another is going to affect how I am able to move and manifest to you. Grieve not the Holy Spirit by being unforgiven or holding a grudge or being angry. Put away all anger and clamor. All of this stuff and strife and envy, jealousy. You know what the scripture said? If there is envy, and if there is strife, and if there's any jealousy, this wisdom comes from beneath. And it's earthy, it's sensual, and it's devilish. And what He wants us to begin to operate in is the wisdom that comes from above. Which, number one, is pure. And it's peaceable. And it's easy to be entreated. If Terry operates in wisdom from above and I wrong him and I go to him and say, Terry, I love you, brother. Will you forgive me? He say, oh, sure, man.
Amen.
No problem. Hallelujah. Easy to be entreated. And brings with it the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Hallelujah. Peace comes. What price peace? Can you say amen? And that tension between us and God is gone. And that place of advantage where Satan can get a wedge in our life, that ground is taken from him. So we're getting ready now to find something very soft and worshipful. Sweet as you can get it. Something we played before will be fine. Hallelujah. But I want to stay in that position before the Lord. How many have ever been angry? Somebody's really pushed your button. I'm not going to tell you that you're never going to get angry again. Here's what Jesus taught. He's not talking to be superhuman or subhuman. He's saying, be angry and sin not. Don't let it lead you to sin. Deal with it quickly, completely. Come to the cross and remember how God could still be angry at you, but He isn't, because Jesus died for you. And surrender that anger to Him. And grant the forgiveness to people who don't deserve it. And go free. And find His table in the presence of your enemies. And be healed. And be delivered. And have every benefit that the blood of Jesus has provided for you in your personal life. And forget the things that are behind that hold you back. And reach forth to the things that await you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. The love of God that achieves this in us, He said it is lavished on you. The Holy Spirit is so willing to do this, it is shed abroad in your heart. He doesn't trickle it in, He pours it in. Amen? Hello? So this is a lot more than tongues, isn't it? Or prophecies, or spiritual gifts. The Bible said if it doesn't have that qualifying divine love aspect, it's sounding brass. It's tinkling cymbal. It's just noise without substance. It draws the attention to us, and when people look at us, they don't see what God wants to show. We're getting ready to come clean and go free. Everybody say, come clean and go free. Boy, I tell you, what an audience tonight. Yet very few pastors have the privilege of preaching to people that want to come clean and go free. They want to go free, but if it costs coming clean, that's a whole different story. I want to come clean and go free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. How many people here tonight have anything in your heart that you feel needs God's attention tonight? God's help with. Anybody got anything from the past? Present, anything. Okay, how many have ever had anything? How many believe that it's possible you could ever have something? Could happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to come over your phone or into your life tomorrow to stimulate anger or unforgiveness. But I know one thing. Every time that it comes, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Can you say amen? Why, Brother Venable? Because we are kingdom people. We're children of our Father. And the Holy Spirit is here to help us overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Can you say amen and give us victory in Jesus Christ tonight? I want to see people healed. And 6 weeks after we prayed for them and they've confessed healing, to really be doing fine. Because, amen, it took and it lasted. Will you stand to your feet tonight? Let's just begin to worship Him tonight. I feel His presence here. I've just felt like the Lord has taken me on His lap tonight and said, son, I want you to trust me enough to be completely honest with me in your life. And I want you to teach others to be completely honest with me in their heart and in their life. I want to heal my people. And I want to help my people. And I don't want Satan to gain an advantage over them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have heard nothing tonight that is not in my word that you can't open your Bible and read. But it's come through the anointing tonight so that you will look within yourself deep enough to apply my word. So you will surrender your heart and your will to me. For I want vessels of honor that are sanctified, that are set apart unto me, that are meet for my use, saith the Lord. I used Corey Ten Boom as a vessel of honor. But I had to help her with her heart to do that. And I'm willing to help you with your heart, saith God. If you'll let me come and pour the oil and wine of my love and my forgiveness in you. Yea, saith the Lord, if you will let me show you your need, I will use you to help meet the need of other people, saith the Lord. What a tender call from God tonight. If there's a pastor that hears this tape, if there's any room left on it after this time, and you're brokenhearted and you're hiding bitterness because of the way you've been treated, God has something for you. Don't look back. Let it go. Let them go. Let it all go. In the name of Jesus Christ, let it go. And go with God. God has great things tonight for the people that will let it go. Ye shalamokuri. Sandara matia torobo kose. Nanda ni tarabari. Ne shalobo. If you're standing for your healing, let's get your heart fixed. Hallelujah. Shilobo korobo. Sandara mani. Ne torobo rokitia. Ni taramasitia.